NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit, credit to the people.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Matt and I were off last week, obviously. A little Thanksgiving break for the boys. And Matt, you are away right now and not in your normal digs.
No, I'm not, man. I'm not. I'm in Orlando, bro.
You are.
I'm in Orlando with the Sarah fam.
That's nice.
And we went to Tarpon Springs. My in-laws do the whole snowbird thing where they have a house in Tarpon Springs. And that's a couple hours from here. So we do that. We hang out with the in-laws, did Thanksgiving. And then we got a nice suburban. Boom! Load up. We came over here last night. We're doing the whole Universal thing. So after this fucking podcast, I'm going to jump in an Uber and meet my family over at Universal.
Is this your first time going without having to ride around in a cart in a while?
Yes. Hey, Jimmy. Hey, you walked with me.
Yeah.
The other day. Tell the audience what you're seeing.
It was like walking with Matt Serra in 2005. That's what it must have felt like, walking with you in 05. Your leg looked great. You seem very, very, very healthy. That whatever they did to your knee worked. The replacement worked.
I don't walk around looking feeble because I'm not. I have a titanium knee.
Yeah.
Titanium knee. So this is the first time in years that I'll be going around Disney, but you know, without and Universal, without a motorized cart. My wife and kids want me to still get it because it helps with the bags.
Oh, your wife and kids want to get that and also probably be able to jump the line a little bit when they see you coming up the cart.
No, don't work like that.
It doesn't. Okay.
It's just a bunch of, you know what the carts are usually? It's less for people that are hurt. It's more for big, fat, obese slobs that want to.
Yeah.
They have their turkey legs. Yo, you fat fucks. The people with the arthritis, the bad knees, leave the car. You know what? Walk around. Yeah. Walk around. D-cup ride. I'm walking around the fucking parks like a champ.
That's nice. Yeah, it was good to see you walking. And I saw a picture of you and Miss Sarah in the, it looked like you guys were in the airport. Were you delayed?
No, that wasn't. Actually, that was us in a bowling alley.
Oh, I think you were in the airport. Okay.
We met up with her cousins out here. She has some cousins out here in Florida. You know, so Big Anthony, Uncle Edwin's out here with us. You know, Edwin.
Yes.
My brother-in-law. So we all went. We all went to bowl. And then I wanted to start singing like from Grease 2. We're going to bowl tonight. We're going to bowl tonight. We're going to rock, we're going to roll, we're going to bowl, we're going to bowl. I don't know how it goes.
I know, but I'm just glad that Dominic has to suffer through this with me. I'm not alone.
I didn't have my audio on for the first, 2 minutes, so it wasn't too...
Matt was singing a Grease 2 song.
What's up, Dominic?
What's going on, gentlemen?
Good to see you.
I saw your Instagram. You were in Tucson with family. Did you... Is that like rare that you get to do that?
I mean, yeah. It's definitely a new thing for me and my family to make that a thing.
Did you enjoy it?
What's in Tucson? What is it? Where were you?
Tucson. Tucson, Arizona.
What's out there?
Well, what's out there? That's a great question, Sarah.
Is your family there?
I got my family there, yes. My whole family's from there. So that's where I was raised. I did high school, junior high out there.
So it's a fucking easy question, man.
That's home. Yeah.
And you got an Airbnb?
Yeah, I got an Airbnb, invited the whole family because, you know, I feel like somewhere along the way, we all just got separate. Yeah, we got to go to my wife's family. You know, I got to go to my husband's family. And then I was like, what the hell's going on that we're not just all coming to one place, your family, my family, their family, and we just all love each other together. I don't understand why we need to be separate if we're all doing the same thing. It just didn't click. It doesn't make sense to me.
Did you get those moments, like as we all get older, we start getting those moments, we're like, holy shit, I haven't seen so-and-so in a long time. And you just get this overwhelming desire to be with that person. Do you ever get that with family?
What I've learned is I've gotten older and had injuries and lost and won and the ups and downs and who's there and who's not, family, blood. You know, you start thinking, how do I get out of this hole? I've got to move into a place of giving, right? And then when I start giving, I'm giving to homeless, I'm giving to so-and-so. And it's like, why am I giving to homeless and so-and-so if I'm not even talking to my cousin? I've never even met my cousin on this side. I've never met my brother on this side. Like, what am I doing? Like, my priorities, family, and you know, homeless and community, they're all mixed together. So yeah, as I've gotten older, I've wanted to mix everybody together and make a difference for everybody.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Dom, have you been surprised by, because you've been winning for so long, you're a champion how many times over, dude, and you're a legend in the sport. I'm not blowing, you know these things. I'm not trying to get you a big head. Nobody's in this game without getting some bumps in the road if you stay in long enough. You had some rough fights. As of late, us who've been in the game, I don't look at you any differently. I know you're a fucking warrior. I know what you've done. Have you been surprised? Because you never had to deal with a lot of losses in your MMA career. Have you been surprised by anybody that's like, what the fuck, you're going to say that? Like, you understand? Like, because people say, they don't know what to say when you lose. And you didn't have to deal with a lot of losses during your fight career. I have. I'm used to the fucking idiots. Did you get surprised by... You don't have a record like Dom. Trust me. I got my losses. So did you get surprised by anybody?
I think the more important question is, can you tell me more about that for yourself?
Oh, dude, fuck yeah.
You're talking about the idiots. Like, give us an example of what you're
Yeah. All right. For sure. All right. After my BJ Penn fight 20 years ago, it was a nice gentleman. He was around my height, maybe a little shorter. Okay, so he's not exactly a tall gentleman, little stocky black guy. And I used to like him in the vitamin shop near Longo's. Oh, you got a fight coming up. Oh, wow, man. Oh, yeah. So then I seen him after my BJ Penn fight. And it was a close fight, but I didn't get the decision. And I go, hey, what's up? I forgot his name. And he goes, hey, you know, can I give you a little constructive criticism? I didn't think that last round you didn't want it enough. I go, dude, give me my fucking zone bar. You're a fucking cashier. Just give me my fucking zone ball. Shut the fuck up. I mean, I was like, what, you? You're a fucking cashier. I'm not against cashier.
That's an honest living. I'm taking a deep breath for you.
Thank you. You're Dom. You're Dom, right?
I feel you. I get it. Say no more. Okay, so great example. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That lets me know what you're talking about. Yes, I deal with this on a regular basis. And then, you know, I think your question is, how do I deal with it?
Yeah, I mean, how do you deal with it? And were you, I was shocked by that guy, but since then, and again, I got way more losses than you. So I've learned how to deal with, all right, I know when something's coming, I go, all right, dude, let's stop right there.
Yeah,
I understand you care for me. Shut the fuck up. Otherwise, guys like that, I just fucking blow off. But were you ever surprised by anybody in particular, whether it's your favorite person at the coffee shop or a cousin, anybody?
Yeah, I mean, it happens regularly. That's the thing is I'm at the disposal of everybody else's interpretations. And that's the game we choose when we decide to put ourselves in a transformational place, in a vulnerable place, because the only way transformation happens is it's a public event. So the whole reason we signed up for this is because everybody was going to see it. Now, we hoped we would get the job done and we didn't. So I always look at it as, what is it about what this person saw and interpreted for my fight that I'm attached to, really. Like, what am I attached to? This person's telling me they don't even, they can barely get up and do 10 squats in the morning. I know that. They don't know that, but they don't know what we did. So I'm like, what is it that I'm attached to that they're saying? What it is my ego. It's not me. Like, the normal me knows that this guy's just clueless. They have no idea, and they just want to be included in our life. They just want to say that, oh, thank God, Matt Serra had a bad day. I thought that dude was a fucking robot. I didn't think he could ever do anything wrong. And finally, a space where I can see his humanity and I can connect with this human and feel like he's me. Like, that's how I look at people. Like, they finally look at us like there's something there that they can jump in on. And it's like, maybe they needed that. Now, that's not easy. I'm not going to sit here and say that that's an easy place for me to give, because I'm a competitor. You're a competitor. But for me, my ego is the competitor, not me. Like, when I separate my ego out of the equation, I'm calm. I'm chilling. Yeah. Like, if I go to your house on Thanksgiving and there's no ego, you could literally slap me and I'd be like, dude, can we please eat some turkey? You're hilarious.
I don't know about that, Dominic. Yeah. I think somebody smacks you, you're going to take a turkey leg and be like, whoa, 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 whoa.
I'm calm is my point, man. I'm not in competition mode. I'm not in I'm chilling. I'm not, what's going on? So for me, it's just, I'm trying to always find a way to use these instances to, why am I attached to it? What, that's about me.
Let me ask both of you guys a question too. Cause I was with a friend of mine years ago. It was at the Lesnar Frank Mir fight when Brock beat, Frank Mir. And we were backstage with Reed Harris and Frank Mir walked by. And my friend didn't know what to say. He just didn't know. Like, his Frank Mir walked by and he just, it was a bad fight for him. And my friend just went, great job, Frank. Like, he didn't know what to say. He panicked. He just panicked seeing Frank Mir. What is the right thing to say to somebody? Because you want to be supportive. Like, you want to say something nice. What's the right thing to do?
I mean, I think every fighter is going to be different. I think what Sarah's going to say might be different than what I say. But what works for me, I had one of my very first coaches ever reach out to me, Drew Fickett, after my last loss. And he gave me like a piece of, it was like peaceful. He just said, hey, that was an extremely entertaining fight. Thank you. It's I just want to know that I was entertaining.
Hey, I'm sorry. Whatever happened to Drew Fickett?
He's just living in Tucson. That's where I used to train with him, and Don Fry were two of the people that I used to train with first off. Like, I have sparring sessions with Don Fry. Like, it's crazy. In the very beginning, those were the people I looked up to in the sport to go, hey, maybe I can get out of Tucson and go do this thing. It was Don Fry and Drew Fickett. Drew Fickett has really turned his whole life around. He's playing the violin. He's helping kids in the community in Tucson. He's doing all kinds of good stuff, and I'm super proud of him.
That's nice. He was a very entertaining fighter. I haven't heard that name in ages, bro.
That was the first guy that ever like taught me real mixed martial arts.
Don't you feel like me and you, we've been in the game in a while. And don't you feel that a lot of guys that like, they're entertaining fighters and whatnot, but they came in like either after us or they were before us, but they left way before us. And don't you still feel like, I don't know if it's lucky or privileged or whatever, that you're still kind of in the game and in the, I don't really need the limelight, but I don't know, man. For instance, I pulled up to this fucking resort I'm in here. And, you know, I'm in the suburban with my family. I put down the window to say, you know, you're at the gate. And the guy there was going, Matt Serra. Like, oh, shit. Like, what's up, buddy? And it shot, you know, it's nice. But yeah. Some people don't get that. And I don't feel bad for them, but I feel like, man, they deserve that. The Chris Lytles, the Drew Fickett's, they deserve to be recognized for what they did.
You're not wrong, but
it's like survivor's guilt.
Well, look, kind of, but you're not a survivor. You're surviving. You never were. You've always been thriving. To go and beat GSP the way you did after the losses that you just explained is you thrived. You found a way to thrive. To get on this show, to get on this podcast, to get on Dana, to get tight with Dana, to get on that show with him, to get on social media, to get on that TV show, to just look at your energy now. This is what you're thriving, man. You're not surviving. So there's a difference in marketing. You know, look at, we have two people the entire world is voting on because of marketing, not because of their skills. Let's not forget that. It's marketing. And you have the marketing down, and that's what's allowing you to thrive. And I'm learning to get the marketing down the best I can. And we're all mixing it up. Look at Jake Paul is a great example. Pure marketing. It's nothing else.
Yeah.
Whether people love you or don't love you, whether they love you or hate you, if this was like Connor's effect too, they want to see you for whatever reason, doesn't matter, because the tickets are the same. If somebody wants to see you get your ass kicked or see you win. So Jake Paul sells a lot of tickets to people who don't like him and want to see him lose.
It's just marketing. He's got so much content out. We just explained all the things that Matt Serra is doing. I have tons of content I can see about Matt Serra besides him going in there and fighting. So like with all that, it makes you an interesting human being, and that's why you're thriving. I don't see it as we're surviving, we got lucky. I'm in gratitude. I'm super gracious that, you know, I was able to stay in this position and still work and be able to work so that I can keep fighting. If I didn't have a job, I couldn't afford to keep fighting, I don't think. I'm very grateful too, but at the same time, man, this has not been easy to get here. Like, I was never the favorite. I was always the underdog. I've always been that way. Even as a former champion facing guys that I beat, Pedro Munhoz and Casey Kenney, before a couple of my losses, I was underdogs in both fights. It's a normal thing coming up in the game for me to be an underdog, start from the bottom and rise to the top. I'm okay with that. That's the thing I signed up for. But that's what all that in the fighting game, you know, that goes away. But what we're doing outside of it, what we're mixing with it, I feel like that's what's keeping us around. Look at Snoop Dogg. How long has he been around, and how many other rappers fell off that were awesome? And it's because he's in everything. He's on commercials. He's everywhere.
Do you know what Snoop Dogg too? It's funny you say that, because you watch those with the like Dos Equis, whatever the beer commercial is, where he's sitting on the beach and I'm watching that. And he did that Triller thing where he did a half hour show. And I'm like, this fucking guy never mails it in. Never. Every single thing he does, he acts like it's the thing he has worked his whole career for. And I think that's one of the reasons he's so successful. Like those beer commercials, everything he does, you feel like it's the only thing he cares about in that moment is doing that. I really respect that. His work ethic is amazing.
Yeah, it's marketing. You know, you build yourself the opportunities by being entertaining and by putting yourself in these limelights to be judged.
Marketing wise, is there anything you wish you had done differently? Like, oh, fuck, I wish I would have taken this opportunity back then, or whatever that may be.
I need to get into the podcast industry. I need to get a podcast going, because that's like a base place that you can really get your business going. I haven't wanted to dabble in it a lot because of the canceling and all this. It's a risky business sometimes. And then also I'm still doing analytical work, and I'm still traveling, and I'm still training. So do I really want to add another thing? So I got a couple with somebody who can do all the camera work. I just got to show up to a room, talk, and leave. That's how, like I'm doing today. This is how I could do it, but you got to find partners that are willing to do that with you. So I'm working on that. But yeah, I just got to put myself out there more. I think I need to be communicating more, talking more. And that's it.
You're a great talker though. You're an amazing announcer. Do you ever get sick? I get sick of my own voice. I do radio. I do podcasts. And once in a while, I'm just like, oh, shut the fuck up, Jim. Like, I just can't take me anymore. Do you get like that? Cause you do get to talk a lot and you get to be heard a lot.
I can honestly tell you, I don't listen to myself ever. I barely watch anything about me for that reason. But I've heard from people who are really good on TV and really good on radio that you should. So I'm working on that too.
Yeah. No, I hate watching myself too.
Yeah. Whenever you feel like that, I'll jump on the train into the city and I'll just lift you up and I'll give you a big kiss. Listen, this is what I want to talk about.
How are you so yoked still? What are you doing? Like, your veins are popping out everywhere right now, dude. What do you do?
What do I do with what now?
What are you doing now? Like, what are you doing for exercise?
I'm at Universal with my family. They went. I'm going to jump in an Uber after this. I have a good time. I read a comment once. I don't do them often, but somebody wrote underneath one of my fucking things. And I was being silly. And they go, Matt Serra lives every life, like every day, like he just beat GSP. And I go, fuck yeah. I could live every day like I had the rematch and I'd be all fucking down in the dumps, but I'm not.
No, he's asking about your workout, right? How your body, you still look so good physically.
Who does?
Dom, is that what you were asking? How he's so yoked, how he's so big?
Yes. I'm not like you are. You're pretty buff, man.
I'm sorry, Dom. That was my stomach. You froze. You froze or you just didn't disbelief?
I said you're buff, man. I've been trying to tell you, you look good.
You motherfucker.
See what I mean? Look at this. He's got veins everywhere.
It's crazy.
What the hell are you
sorry,
doing?
Dude. I'm sorry.
What
I'm
are
sorry.
You doing? See? That's what I'm trying to say.
Listen, USADA is not testing this motherfucker. I go to a TRT place and I do a lot of jujitsu, man, with my new knee.
Dude, you got a straight roadmap going off on your chest, homie.
I feel good for me. I feel bad for my wife. She's getting attacked tonight. Listen, what I want to bring up to you guys is happy endings. Not Jimmy, not your type of happy endings.
You almost got a standing ovation out of me. Okay.
Not your type of happy endings with the hanging and the fucking whacking. I'm talking about life after fighting. I'm going to tell you who's in fucking trouble. Conor McGregor. That motherfucker. All the money in the world. And the guy leaves drunk, coked up fucking text. Oh, you fucking Joe. And he does the extra with the Irish fucking shit. But I didn't even know how to do it. But he tries to put a little extra little twang on his voice. Oh, Joe Rogan. Oh, you kicked the downed opponent, did you? You little rat. Shut the fuck up, Connor, you cunt.
I love this shit. You know what? This is actually flows directly into what we were just talking about, which is marketing. And real talk, like one of the things I can't get myself to do is go off and just, people will talk shit on me all day on Twitter, on Instagram. I'm going to beat up Dom, Dom's this, Dom's that. And I'm just like, I just ignore people rather than giving them the platform. What he's good at is humiliating people with his words and making it sound whatever. But I get your point. But look, we're talking about him. And you're not talking about any stupid thing that I've tweeted. And if I did tweet something stupid, you would bring it up and we'd be talking about it. So it's like, how does he keep himself relevant? It's stuff like that. That's how. He's good at it.
Yeah.
But it's deeper than that. It's deeper than that. It's not just a business thing with him. It is an attention thing with him, which is great.
Now we're getting to the point, though.
Where is his happy ending? He's got the yacht. He's got the money. Does he seem happy to you? Or does he seem fucking angry? And he's going back to fucking fights with him and Habib. And what is his happiness, man? Where's this fucking... Why are you so fucking angry? You got more money than God. You're on a yacht. You're this and that. You're getting sued by your ex-buddy who did or did not give you the idea for your fucking bourbon. Money does not suck. I have enough money to take care of my family, to do vacations when I want. My day-to-day life is what the true happiness is. Like, dude, I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's just me, though. Like, I have my, if I lose this, the Dana White looking for a fight, and everything we're doing, I still got my school. And that is pure happiness to me. Like, I could just do whatever I'm my boss and my family's there. And I don't know, like, where is the, is he going to find happiness or is he going to be a bitter, angry fucking millionaire? I don't know.
I'll be honest. From my perspective, my interpretation is he is as happy, maybe as you possibly, maybe as happy as me, maybe as happy as anybody in the world. But what he chooses to display to the social media is what people want to see, which is what you're talking about. The anger, the aggression. I think that that's just what he's putting out because it's much more interesting than I love life. Life is amazing. Love God, love the sunshine. I think that I believe that he's poking the bear more than anything, but I think he's probably, my interpretation is, with as much money and super Lamborghini yachts and Lamborghinis and girls and party, he's probably happier than ever in his personal life, but just putting out there that, you know, I'm pissed off. I mean, that's how he's gotten every penny he's gotten is by running people in the dirt. Why would he stop now? He's made millions off of that.
I'm telling you, I feel it's something else. I feel it's coming from whenever there's anybody else getting attention, he's like a jealous fucking kid. He's like
competing. He wants to compete. He wants to compete, don't you think? And he's not.
Yeah, listen. I'll be watching when he fights. I'll be helping to give him money. Fuck it.
Well, but Matt, maybe you guys are both right. Maybe you're both. It's probably a combination of this. Maybe it's not one or the other. It's one of those things where you're right. He does show the other side. But then you look at like stuff like the incident with the old guy in the bar or slapping that fans, or things that kind of went a little beyond just promotion. Maybe it's a combination. He's great at promoting. He's a master promoter. And he's also craving the attention. And who knows? It could be both.
Yeah, I'm sure something tells me that dude's happy though. Maybe not completely like I'm zen, like life is perfect happy, but I mean the dude looks happy to be running around living life. Like, come on.
I don't know, man. I think fucking late night texts. There's something more to him. I think he's just a, I don't know. I think he's a piece of shit, to be honest. But that's just, I mean, that's just me though. Dominic, if you had all the money that he had, I don't think you'd, I mean, it, I don't know. I just think the way he carries himself, everything he's done, it gets rewarded. And at the end of the day, he's just, I just think he's a fucking piece of shit. But hey, guys, that's me. Everybody's different. All right. Everybody's got opinions.
I just look at people like, how are they mirrors of me? What about them annoys me that I see in myself? And then I immediately get out of thinking people are pieces of shit because everything, like somebody cuts me off and I'm like, I want to kill you. It's like, oh, I cut somebody off yesterday. That's why I'm so mad. I do the same shit. I'm not perfect. I'm like, maybe I'm a piece of shit. Maybe that's why I'm looking at him thinking he's a piece of shit. I don't know who's a piece of shit and who isn't. It's up for interpretation. None of it is fact. So I try to stay out of that, moving into things I can control, which is he looks happy to me.
That's a very self-help way of, and I'm saying that in a good way, of looking at, like, you know, if I point one finger, three are pointing back at me. That's very, very kind of along those lines of, why don't I like that guy? What, how does he remind me of myself? When it's just a thing like that, like not a guy who's beating his wife, but if it's just a guy who's like, why does that guy on site fucking annoy me? What is it about him?
I'm not saying that that's the way to do it. That's just how I do it. So I don't get triggered by people because I can't afford to be worrying about other people's happiness, whether they are or they aren't. I don't really, I'm just happy as hell. I'm good.
I'm pretty happy also.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing from you at the most part is you're happy, bro. So let's focus on that. You seem happy other than the veins coming out of your forehead when you talk about Connor.
I, you know, how about this? I think about Connor about the second we're off the topic, it's out of my brain, dude. I don't think about that guy at all. But I sometimes I'll watch on the YouTube, the they have like the news clips of the MMA. Like, I don't forget what they're called, but it's like, it kind of sums you up what's going on lately. You know what I mean? For everything from the latest fights to the rumors to whatever. So I've been hearing them like yap at fucking Rogan and this and that. I'm like,
yeah.
And then he goes back and Bisping was before that.
That Bisping thing was crazy. But I mean, Bisping's been asking for something like that for a long time too. Let's be honest.
What was the Bisping thing? I didn't see it. Did they go back and forth?
Oh yeah.
He just rubbed him the wrong way. Like, who knows? He might come after Sarah next. You never know. But it's like Bisping rubbed him the wrong way and he threatened to kick through his door and like take him out in his own house. So it's like, ugh. Like, I mean, I don't necessarily align with talking that way, but I guess when you have a lot of money and you can do whatever you want, I don't know.
Anyway, fuck him. Fuck him in his yacht.
This episode of UFC Unfiltered is sponsored by VeChain, official blockchain partner of UFC. Digital technologies are the future, and VeChain is building its foundations with advanced blockchain technology. VeChain helps people, companies, societies unite their efforts and contribute to tackling sustainability challenges together. Sustainability is complex. VeChain is building digital ecosystems that enable the creation of measurable goals, trackable data, and real progress without the greenwashing. Reducing human impact on Earth is critical. Efficient circular economies that make best use of resources are the only path forward. By connecting blockchain technology with real-world action, VeChain makes it possible to capture the value generated by data, allowing people and businesses to be rewarded for positive environmental actions, creating a powerful incentive mechanism for change. To learn more about VeChain, visit www.vechain.org. That's VeChain, VeChain.org. Follow them on Twitter at VeChain Official.
Yo, what else we got? I just like to shoot the shit about topics.
Well, how about, I would like to, because I was at the first fight I've gone to in probably 2.5 years was 281. Because of COVID and my travel schedule, I have not been able to be in person. And it was an amazing, what do you think happened, Dom, besides the fact that Pereira caught him in the fifth? I thought he won, what do you think? He won the second and obviously the fifth. Did Adesanya have something in his head that kind of, it forced him to do something he shouldn't have done in that round? Because I picked Pereira just because I thought it's hard to come back after losing to a guy twice. But as a non-fighter, maybe I'm wrong.
No, I mean, just from what I saw in the fifth round, Pereira's team got him, told him exactly what they needed to tell him, and he had the cardio to follow through and do it. When it comes to the fifth round, man, you guys are both in shambles. I don't care. Like, you're both exhausted. You're in the last 5 minutes of your will. And they both had will. Neither of them were out of it. But in the fifth round, Pereira had enough cardio in order to keep the power up, and he had the power to finish the fight. And he pushed. He just grinded through. It's not easy to get a hold of to corner, is he? And he was able to do it with cardio and power. I mean, he was just able to push it out, grind it. It's like, I look at that fifth round kind of like the last 3 minutes. It's like, who's the fastest at the very end of the race? Like when you look at a 400 meter sprint or something, right? They sprint the last little chunk out. And I think Pereira just kept a little bit higher of a pace with a little bit more power at the end of the round in order to get the finish. But it doesn't take away from anything Izzy did. Like I said, that was an extremely entertaining fight. I feel like that's what you say to that fight. There's so much to be learned on both sides. When I watched that fight, I could go back and watch it 5 times and learn so much from Izzy and how he fought a power fighter. And I can go back and watch Pereira and watch, wow, this is how power fighters need to fight. Conserve, like a Conor, I feel like, for an example, could use, learn some from Pereira. Like Pereira, he was able to limit himself for 5 rounds and still have power left in the fifth to get the finish. That's the next game, is like, how do we equalize our energy levels to get the job done?
Also, can I just add, because I don't like to be a one-sided person with this, I think Conor's an awesome fighter, though. I do. He's not in that, you know, I'm gonna, you know, death before tapping guy, but you know, he might have that quick tap. But
well, all right, how about this? I'll say instead of Conor, we'll say Chandler. Another power fighter that maybe if he could like watch Pereira, learn how to use the power, limit the power, use the power, limit the power. And then in the fifth, you go all rounds and you're just knocking people out. In the fifth round, you're knocking somebody out because you got a little juice left in the tank. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know how Pereira was able to get, how did he pull that out at the end of the fight? He looked tired a lot of times, right? Like I watched him and he's like, he looks tired. He completely recovers and comes back and starts throwing haymakers. It's crazy.
Well, you know, with the 1 minute rest in between, I mean, it could, if he's in shape, he'll look tight in the round and he can get that second win with that. If you're doing the right thing with your heart rate, that minute, it could bring you back. You know what I mean?
And that Izzy can definitely win that fight. Look, does anybody, come on. I feel anybody who loses in the last, like when you're winning and then you just lose, it's like, That fight can happen again.
Like Usman Edwards, yeah.
Yeah, Usman Edwards, another example, yeah.
Yes, 100%. But literally, I know they said maybe 10 seconds. How about 5 seconds? How about 3 seconds more in that first round? He was shook. And he's such a sharpshooter, Israel, that he hit him with, I believe it was a right and then a fake uppercut to a left. And it was fucking beautiful. Because after he hurt him with the right, it was like a measured right where he put it out there and then he did it again. It was so cool. No, wait. Yeah. And then he faked an uppercut, hit the left, and he was on fucking shaky legs. Another 2 seconds. He's such a sharpshooter. It could have been done. So it's more of, it's almost worse when that happens because it's like, oh, laces out. We were 1 more second, literally.
That's the point. That's why that fight is happening. And that's why any fight where somebody's like smashing the first 3-4 rounds and then gets knocked out, like we need to see that fight again. It's awesome because you don't know how it could go. And what I saw was, what I really loved about that way that he rocked Pereira was he threw a jab and it was so cool. Like, I so want to steal this. He left his, you always hear, don't leave the hand out, bring it back to your face. He sticks it out to blind the eye. He left it stuck right here and then followed it, and he couldn't see the right hand coming because he left the hand out. So he like blinds your eye and then boom, the right hand comes. It was a very delayed right hand, and that rocked him hard. And he did that over and over. I watched him keep landing that right hand that way. And that's a super slick trick. That's what I'm saying. That's high level K1 striking that we're talking about, to be landing these kinds of shots on each other. It was unbelievable.
It was also, am I correct? It was Prochazka and Teixeira, same thing. I thought Glover was winning that fight, if I remember correctly. And didn't he lose that in the final round?
He got knocked out. And,
it was in the fifth, like, right?
Glover uses mixed martial arts so well to win fights, not just fighting. He like uses the takedown, the top pressure for 3 minutes to wear you out. Then when you get back up to the feet, he gets back on the pressure. He'll give up a round to get the next round. And in the round that he gives up, he stays very defensively sharp. Like he knows how to use his energy. He's just so experienced that it's fun to watch somebody like Glover, and he's so durable for where he's at. And then Prohaska, I mean, that guy, all you got to say is pure power and explosiveness. And that's always fun to watch. Not to mention, he does everything what people would say is stylistically wrong. Hands are by the hips, switching stance constantly, very limited defense, moves the head like this. Like, it's all the stuff that people say you shouldn't do. He does, gets away with it, and knocks people out. So it's fun to watch.
I think it's good for the sport in a way, the excitement of it. When you look at welterweight, middleweight, light heavyweight championship, all three fights were lost in the final round by a champion who was winning the fight. And I thought Glover was winning that fight. And that just shows you, like, and I mean, Edwards Usman was, I mean, crazy last minute. But you, it's very exciting for the sport when you see championships changing hands like that. I mean, in the final round of fights that these other guys were losing.
Yeah, the sport is so crazy to me that, yeah, I mean, Matt would say the same thing. You never know who's going to win. You just never know. You can have an idea, but like you watch certain sports, you can be like, yeah, for sure, according to the odds, this person's going to win. You know, you just know. In fighting, there's always a chance.
It also is like, it shows you something that these guys are willing to engage in that fifth round too. Like the fact that I don't think Glover just stayed away, and Izzy certainly didn't. And I don't think Usman did to Edwards. Like these guys are still willing to engage and really try to end the fight in the fifth round, says something really positive about these guys, even though they lost the fights. But I don't remember any of them trying to avoid the conflict in the fifth.
Well, I think this could really also, from my opinion, lay to rest the conversation that Izzy just runs, because he didn't just run in that fight. He hit Pajeda a lot, and they went back and forth. It's just his style, his elusiveness, footwork, movement, quickness, speed, stance switch, all these things make it very hard to find this guy. So it's not necessarily, he's not running, he's just hard to find. And when you find him, he'll make you pay. He'll stand there and trade with you, but he'd rather not, because he's not a stand there and trade power guy. It's just not his style. So it's just cool to watch, because Pajeda really brought the best out of, you know, Stylebender, and vice versa. And that's what's cool.
It would be shitty if they give Khamzat extra shot, man, because that's a bad matchup. Holy fuck. Yeah. Right away, like, yeah, next, please. He wanted in there right away. Styles make fights.
Actually, that's a good point. Would you say that? I would say that Stylebender's takedown defense is better than Alex's, probably.
Oh yeah.
See what I'm saying? So because of the game, the longevity in the game, that's what's so crazy about fighting, is like one champion, you had to bring a K-1 world champ to come beat the current champion that's actually the guy that's got the most mixed martial arts knowledge to beat everybody in the division. Whereas we don't know. We're going to see. Can Pajeda stop a takedown? We will find out soon. We've seen Izzy stop Gastelum. We've seen him stop good wrestlers. Whitaker has got good timing on his takedowns. A lot of people that wrestle, and they haven't been able to get him down. So it's like, we haven't seen that out of Alex too much, because he hasn't faced the highest level wrestlers yet. But it's not that I think he can obviously do it, but we're going to find out.
Man, he looks straight out of the fucking Amazon.
He looks so strong. Oh. His elbows and his wrists are like giant.
He's just like built for like, just like, you know, holy shit.
Feel like Matt Serra on that therapy.
Yeah, no, he's got USADA. I don't.
What do you think? What do you guys think? I'll ask Matt too. What do you think of the light heavyweight division now that Prohaska is out with a shoulder problem, probably for 6 months? And you gotta love the guy. He apologized to everyone. Just obviously nothing to apologize for. What do you think happens now, and how do they navigate this?
Sarah, you go first, but I do want to say, how long was he out before that? Before this last 6 months, was he out already for another injury?
I don't recall.
Out for a while, and he did kind of just say, I'm giving this thing up, and I'll fight for it when I'm back. He was pretty cool.
Yeah, because how long was he out before this last 6 months? His last fight was June 2022. So June. So that would be about a year out. is basically what would happen. If he fought it, if he waited till after shoulder surgery and then did the rehab, he wouldn't fight for the fight. The title would be on hold for about a year.
Is he just giving it up and letting the fight, or is he going to keep it and they're going to do an interim belt, or is he just gave it up?
Yeah, they could do an interim belt, but they gave it up. So when I hurt my knee for the second time, I ended up being out for a year, and then they stripped me instead of me giving it up. So it's like, you can quit or you can give it up. Either way, we got to get moving. So it's like, it's okay. He'll come back and get a shot right away, though. Like, sure. He'll get a top contender right away, and they won't hold him back. I think that in the end, it's just what they do for business. It's a smart thing to do. You know, like I said, when Dana and them stripped me, I understood you get it. You need the division to keep going, and you're holding it up to an extent. You don't want double injuries, but when double injuries happen like that, you kind of got to let the show go on. But they'll give him such a good guy when he comes back that I think we'll see him right back in the mix immediately.
And Michael Chandler, I mean, that loss to Poirier, he's one of those guys who, even when he loses, this guy's like him. Eddie Alvarez was like that, or Gaethje. Like, there's certain guys that you always want to see fight, even if they're not winning you know what I mean? There's certain guys that have that. I think Tony Ferguson has that to a certain extent, where it's almost like people just want to watch him. Nate Diaz. What do you think Chandler needs to adjust a little bit to kind of stop this from happening? Because he comes out and he has such a great round, and he just can't seem to put these guys away.
No, he's dropped all of them. So it's not that he can't put them away, right? I don't think that's even what it is. I think over long terms of the fight, just striking defense. It always comes down to fundamentals. It came down to fundamentals in my fight. Like, as you get into the later rounds, your fundamentals show and don't show. Like, how often do you stay in them? How often do you not? Those are your habits. And I think certain guys get really tired, the fundamentals start to go away. And then when the fundamentals go away, that the defense isn't as strong as it is in the first couple rounds. And then when you lose the defense with 4 ounce gloves, things happen. But from my experience, Mike Chandler is pure offense. So it's like, that's why it's so fun to watch. His offense is his defense. Nonstop power, explosiveness, offense. And then he's being so offensive that these guys can't get off on him, and he's just beating them to death until he's not. And that's what's fun to watch. I mean, I think people also like to see just damage, and there's a lot of damage that he takes and then also gives. So it makes Chandler one of the fun guys to watch always.
This episode of UFC Unfiltered, it's brought to you by Love Hemp. They're the official CBD partner of UFC. Life can be a challenge, but we all strive to live it to the fullest. Love Hemp is one of the leading CBD brands, loved and trusted by professional athletes worldwide, with a multi-award-winning range, over 40 CBD products, including oils, edibles, capsules, and skincare, all of which are designed to fit seamlessly into your daily routine and support optimal health, wellness, and recovery. Whatever challenges you might be facing, Love Hemp is always in your corner. Love Hemp, love life. Available across Europe via lovehemp.com. Coming soon to the U.S. What do you think happens now with, Wiley, does she fight Rose again, or what does she do? I don't think, Carly definitely doesn't get an instant rematch. What do you think happens with her?
Honestly, I'd have to see the whole division. I'd have to see the layout of like who's where. Carla won't get a rematch right away, so I don't see why they wouldn't make the Wiley Rose fight. But I'd have to see who else is under and around Rose, right? Like, what other girls have had a streak going besides them, those three?
Amanda Lemos, Andrade.
Lemos has looked good. Lemos versus Wei Li would be pretty awesome.
Has she fought Jan yet? You know, she's number six. Has she fought Jan?
No. So I could see, Wei Li versus Jan or Lemos, both of them, or Lemos and Jan. And then to make the contender for Wei Li while she healed, something like that. But Lemos just fought as well. But she's been just knocking people out. you don't see that a lot in the division. She's finishing people very strong, and not just small, like good girls.
Right.
And no, she's a beast. You know what else is a beast? My Aunt Susie's fucking cookies. I don't know what, but I visited them in Tarpon Springs. My wife's aunt, you see this cookie?
What kind of cookie is it?
I forgot the name of it. Wait, right here? No. But she put in a nice little thing. There's also the tea tarts. I'm not a tea tart guy. Yeah. But this fucking cookie. Oh my goodness.
It's a sugar cookie. Come on. It's just a sugar cookie. Sugar cookies are not that good.
Oh, Aunt Susie would disagree. You better have some wooden spoon defense, Dominic. But this thing, I feel like I'm at D'Antoni's Bakery in Long Island, New York. But let's get back to some fights. Dominic, I'm sorry. You're used to very, very, you know.
No, I we need it. We need you, man. Couldn't do it without you. Kidding me? You're the sprinkles on the cookie, bro.
Right now, my kids are at fucking Hogwarts with their fucking I'm going over there soon, but I'm not going to be wearing one of those fucking robes. Or am I?
Why not? Yeah, do it. Who cares?
Yo, hey, this weekend, Stephen Wonderboy Thompson versus fucking Trailblazer.
Kevin Holland.
Let's talk about it.
Oh, that's a sick fight. That's a tough fight.
Hey, man, besides this cookie, there's not many things I love. No, that's not true. I love a lot of things, and we could talk about that another part. I brought my VR with me. There's a lot of things I love. But I fucking love Dominic Splitwork and Stephen Wonderboy Thompson's sidekick. He has the fine, I don't study a lot of karate fights, but in the UFC, I've never seen a better sidekick. How about this? Possibly one of the most underused weapons. Tools in the fight game, underused. But when it's used, I mean, he's fucking brilliant with it.
Yep.
Every time he does it, Don, every time. If you see me at my house.
I don't know anybody in the men's division that does it as well as him, I agree. But I think that Jan and Karate Hottie have the best sidekicks in the women's divisions. But her sidekick goes straight up to the face, straight to the body. Her and Karate Hottie, their hips move like an arm. It's crazy.
Why do you think it's because Matt's right, there's not many guys that do it. Why do you think that guys don't use that more? Is it because there's the threat of takedown, or what's the reason behind more guys not using that?
Well, from what I'm hearing, men can also have babies now, so it's a tough thing, but their hips are different.
Oh, that's it. I never thought of that. I never heard that. That's interesting.
People are saying that. That's the loop.
Man.
So it could be a hip thing?
It's hard to get some. It's good for just like self-defense aspect, keeping somebody at bay.
You can stretch the hips out, right? Like you can do it, but the only thing I could think of is we're just not as flexible in the hips maybe, but you have to train that aspect. Like sidekicks are a weird thing to train. You have to do karate, taekwondo. Like it's not sidekicks aren't taught in Muay Thai. They're not taught in boxing. They're not taught in kickboxing, right? So where do you learn it?
I learned mine from Longo. I started using it late in my thing with Matt Hughes. I was trying to get to him a little bit.
Do you use it as a teep, or do you turn sideways and use it?
I would use it as a just literally sideways. I wouldn't use it as a teep. No, I don't got a good teep. But my fucking sidekick, I used to do it. I actually, it probably got me my shot at the title because I did it in a close fight with Chris Lytle. And the last one, I left it out there, kind of like Shoney used to do for me when I used to go, oh, a leg. And I used to grab it. I go up with my fight IQ in the beginning, Dom. It took me a couple of back fists to kind of be like, oh, don't just, he's like, it's almost like a fucking mouse leaving some cheese on a fucking, not a he's for a mouse. Fucking Shoney, he was not the best fighter, but he would just like leave a side leg out there and I go to grab it. He'd let it go and hit me. Hindsight's 2020. I learned a lot since then. But I, with Chris Lytle, I threw it, and then like a shitty one, because then once they got to go past it, it lit, I hit him with a back fist, and then he got mad, tried to get me, and I took him down. But I fucking love it. I love that you can do this back fist off of it, which I used to do a lot in sparring. And this, I don't know, the sidekick is an underused fucking tool, but I'll tell you who has a good one. Well, maybe I should wait until he uses it more, but fucking Aljo's got a great sidekick. I don't think he's used it too much, but goddamn, he could put that. He could put Longo goes. So I was asking Longo, what is foot key? Longo goes, he can put that foot anywhere he wants.
Yeah, he's got crazy hips too.
He does.
Like some guys' hips just are like stretchy as hell. Like, I don't know. You either, I don't know if they train it or if it's natural. My hips don't move that way. Like I have to stretch them out. Like I got to do some like crazy Jean-Claude Van Damme thing where they stretch my legs across on ropes. Otherwise they're not moving.
Ah man, hips are hips, but I'm an ass man. Anyway, let's fucking go.
Hey Dom, before we go, I would say I hope you do start a podcast. You're what's that?
Holy fuck, it's an hour already?
Oh yeah. Yeah, just about.
Why do I have to bring up Connor? I don't even give a fuck about
that's
that.
That's right. It's what it is. It's for hey, whatever happens.
He's on your mind, man. He's on your mind for a reason. Maybe you should send him a text, a nice loving text.
Hey, before I go, before I forget, Dom, I meant to ask you about Chris Gutierrez, who had mentioned you. Do you have any desire for that fight, or is that just something that's not on your radar at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not. I'd rather have like rematch with Cheeto or something before I fight that. Like, you know, that would be more. I think I don't know how Vera's gonna do. Hopefully, he, you know, when guys that you lose to win, it's good for you. But he's got a tough ride ahead of him. You know. The guys that are there, but I think, you know, hopefully he gets the job done, but if he doesn't, I would love that rematch. You know what I mean? So that's important to me. Or the Henry rematch, that would be good. Rematches would do me the most right now personally, but, you know, but we'll see. Cause I know that they probably have other plans. So I just keep training and you don't always get what you want. So I just keep training and getting my body in shape.
How's your body feeling, by the way?
Feels good. I trained this morning. I'll train every day, you know. But as I'm working, that's allowing me to get the money to keep training. So that's I got to work too.
Dom, I can see you doing the commentary after you're done fighting. I want you to fight more, obviously. I love watching.
Well, I'm doing it while I'm fighting. So doing commentary after fighting will be easy. That's the thing. It's like, it'd be much easier. It's much harder now to do it. Like, I got to go all the way to Perth in February. And that's a tough one. You know, that's hard on the body.
What do you think you do when you're done fighting and you're doing just the commentary? You think you're going to do any other kind of, I know you'd be training.
Yeah, I think at this point in my life, fighting is holding me back from a lot of life, you know, but I love fighting and I can only fight while I'm healthy and my body works. So it's like, when my body stops competing at the top 10 level, like stop being one of the best in the world, then I'll be done. I don't, you know, it's like, you got a shelf life for fighting. So I want to use my fighting body as long as I can. And then when I'm done, I'm done. I'm not going to be one of these guys that retires and comes back. When I retire, I want to retire. When I fight, I want to fight. When I'm in the competition pool, I want to stay in the competition pool. I'm not trying to come out of USADA. I'm not trying to come out of the testing pool and play all these games. And like, you got to think when you leave and you retire and then you come out of the testing pool, Now you can blab with no threat. There's no way to pay for anything you say. You can be this tough guy all you want because you can't fight for a minimum of 6 months after what you say. Right. Nobody can call you out. Nobody can talk trash. Everybody's going to blow you up on ESPN and SportsCenter because you're talking trash and nobody can get you to back it up. So it's like when you pull out like that, to me, you're just a coward. Like stay in the pool, stay here, stay with the pressure of the competition and everybody asking you, who are you going to fight? When are you going to fight? Who are you going to fight? When are you going to fight? If you don't stay in that pressure and you leave that to go get a rest and then come back after you've retired, like to me, that was like a weak way out. Like you relieved yourself of all the pressure that everybody else who's in competition is feeling. It's hard.
Yeah.
I need your thoughts before we let you go. Dom, first of all, a lot of fun. You got to come on more often. Fun.
Love being here with you guys.
I need your thoughts on this, man. Ali, the manager of Henry Cejudo, is saying that him and Aljo is a done deal. I don't know if that's true or not. What would you think about a fight between Aljo and Henry Cejudo? How do you think that would go down? I know I'm biased as fuck, but how do you think that would go down?
Well, first of all, I think that Ali speaks for the guys that can't speak for themselves. So that's a big tell in itself. Like, we're talking about, you know, he's speaking for certain, like, you're a manager. Like, why do you have a microphone? Like, we're talking about the actual athletes. You're on the outside being the safe guy in your fancy suit. Like, we don't, who cares what you really say? Like, what about, let's hear what the athlete has to say, first of all. So if Henry is going to fight Sterling, let's hear it from Henry, not his manager, like some third party that wants the microphone in front of his face, that wants the camera so bad that that's what he's doing for himself.
Are we not a fan of Ali Al-Arabi's?
I have no problem with Ali.
Okay.
I have no beef with this guy.
You're coming out a little bang, bang.
No, no. Listen, my thing is, why am I the one talking and not my manager? I'm just speaking by how I work. Like,
all right.
Why are we on this and you're not talking to my manager right now?
Whether that's happening or not, that fight, what do you think is going to happen with that fight? If it happens.
Well, I don't know, because we got to hear from Henry and Sterling, the ones that are fighting.
I don't give a fuck about them right now. I'm talking to you, Dominic Cruz, your thoughts.
How does the matchup go? I think that Sterling wins. I think Sterling's top game is too good. I think he can definitely take down Henry. Henry's been taken down. We saw him be taken down by Demetrius. The hard part is holding him down, because he's one of the best wrestlers in the world, period.
He doesn't have to.
He's nasty. He's a gold medalist in wrestling. You can't deny that. Henry Cejudo can fight.
No. Okay? You're not getting my point is this. My point is, he doesn't have to get him down or even keep him down. He needs to see his back. He sees his back, he's on the back. So if he can't keep him down and he gets on his back and that body triangle's on, and I tell Aljo this, and this is not some genius thing that I came up with. And I said it before his last fight, and I say it to him every fight. He gets that mount or he gets the body triangle, the back, he's winning the round, if not ending the fight. That's how I feel. Could the guy escape? Could he escape and do it? Anything could happen. But from what I've seen and the level that he has with the control from both mount, which is starting to be almost a forgotten art in jiu-jitsu, because people don't like it, because with the submission only, they can't get hit. They can wiggle, wiggle, wiggle and get on a leg, and people avoid the mount. And then they don't get that fucking money mount that you need in a fight. Anyway, that's another thought. But Aljo, his mount and his back is such a fucking high level. And he's so great at strangling. And that I said, man, you either, that, like, look what he did with Jan. That was like, could have been a 10-8 round. And he didn't finish it, but man, did he win that round. So it's like, and with the other guys, he's finishing it. So I don't know. My point is with Henry, does he have to get him down and control him? That might be hard. But for him to get back up, he's going to be exposing that back. And then that's all fucked out.
That's what I'm trying to say. From my perspective, when you hold people down, they give their back or they give them out. That's what I'm trying to say. It's not about the takedown. It's like when you can hold somebody down, you force them into giving their back or giving mount, because you have a certain skill of squeezing. When you're a good wrestler, they pop right up and they scramble, because you don't have that level of jiu-jitsu, that top pressure. When you go with the nasty black belt, the top pressure feels different than when you go with the NCAA champion in wrestling. The top pressure isn't the same. They let you turn and then you can't get them off of you. When you got a black belt, your chin doesn't, you're like, you get taken, you're stuck, you're like pinned to the floor. So I see Aljo having that, which can create some options for him to take the back mount, different things that we haven't seen in the grappling from Henry. But I think that Henry's boxing is a little bit better. I think hands are better than Aljo's, but Aljo's kicks and wrestling mixed together and grappling, all his whole game and how he uses it with this side-to-side movement and footwork, I think it's very hard to beat.
Not to mention his confidence now, Dom.
Yeah. And he's big. He's big, too. The dude's big.
Yeah.
He's a big guy.
Awesome. Yeah. Dom, thank you, man. Always so great to have you. Come back more often. We love having you on. So I just want to promote. I added Dallas and Fort Worth in January. So New Year's Eve here in New York, Levity Live in Nyack. And then in January, I have one night in Dallas, one night in Fort Worth, and then March 4th at the Huntington Paramount Theater in Long Island.
When is that? When is that last one?
March 4th.
You know, I'm going to be there, Jimmy.
I know, of course.
Maybe after, I'll show you my school down the block.
It's right. I would love that. I would love that. It's a Saturday night. I would love that.
I got a list. And by the way, Cameo, you kind of fuck it up, Cameo. Like Cameo, like I go check it once in a while, and there's like a lot of expired Cameos. There used to be a nice lady, nice girl, that would like text me or call me and say, listen, yeah, you're behind on your Cameos. You got someone running out. I never get that anymore.
You should have it forwarded to your phone. Turn your notifications on.
They got to do the right. Oh, I should.
I check mine every day. You should check it every day. Make it a habit, because, okay. And go right to your email address.
You're right, Jimmy. You're right. I'm not blaming Cammy.
Yeah. Is there anything you want to plug? Yes.
Monorex. Thank you guys. Love you guys. And you know, DominicCruz.com, Dominic Cruz MMA, the footwork drills, you can get those anywhere you want. And I'll be coming back soon. I'm just grinding and trying to work to pay those bills so that I can get back in there and fight again soon.
Your videos, your foot. I'm done fighting. A guy like me, you see me, I got flat fucking, I'm no fucking Sugar Ray Robinson. Could you help a guy like me with my footwork?
That's the thing. It's literally a workout. You can do it in 20 minutes. And I broke it down so simple that kids can do it. Of course you could do it. No question.
You know what I want? I want the Dominic Cruz fucking dance fucking DVD. Cause you could do that same shit in the club. I fucking seen you, Dom. I seen it. Anyway, I'll do that shit.
Rhythm is rhythm.
Fuck yeah. Dom, thanks, man.
Good talking to you, Dom. Thank you, man.
All right, buddy. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, take care. Talk to you soon.
Jimmy, and up my last question to you. Was I too much today?
You're great.
Okay. Jimmy.
Always a delight,
buddy. I love you, my little bird.
I love my dear friend, Matt. Have fun. And I'll talk to you in a couple days.
Here I come.
All right, enjoy. Bye, buddy.
Bye.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.